Anyway.
I guess we're calling this to order. Can we have roll call, please?
Awakalanta Banakuya Indian. City of Blythe.
Here.
City of Cathedral City.
Here.
City of Coachella. City of Desert Hot Springs.
Present.
City of Indio. City of Indian Wells.
Here.
City of Indio. She is present.
Present, sorry.
City of La Quinta.
To some extent, yes.
City of Palm Desert.
Here.
City of Palm Springs.
Here.
City of Rancho Mirage.
Here.
County of Riverside.
Here.
Torres Desert Cahuilla Indians. Chair, we have a quorum.
Thank you very much. Ready, would you be so kind as to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. And now it's the time for any public comments on any agenda items. Do we have any public comments?
No, Chair, we do not.
Okay, so we'll move right along to the Chair and Executive Director announcements, please.
Yeah, Doug, great seeing everybody. And just a reminder, in this room, the microphones are in the sky. They're in the ceiling. And so if you do whisper to your colleague, that might be picked up. And hopefully they're so sensitive that Mayor De Kuna could hear everything you're saying. The other bit of news, and it is certainly very good news, you all might remember a couple of years ago, the federal funding that we rely on substantially for big projects on the interstate system. We were working with RCTC over the years on distributing federal funding in this region and in Riverside County. And that federal funding, decision-making for that went from transportation commissions to SCAG. And when that happened a couple of years ago, we had a little bit of a, call it a disagreement between CVAG and RCTC about how those funds would be distributed. Initially, RCTC staff was proposing that all federal funds coming to Riverside County go to Western Riverside County. We didn't quite think that was fair.
Didn't seem right.
And many of you advocated on behalf of this region to make sure we got our fair share, which we did. Fast forward to this year, SCAG's Transportation Committee meets on Thursday, I believe. I think that's Thursday. And the staff recommendations came out just a couple days ago. There's about $150 million coming to Riverside County out of the entire region. And of that $150 million, $50 million is coming to the Coachella Valley. Some might argue that's more than our fair share. Sometimes we'll get a little bit more, sometimes we'll get a little bit less. The projects that will be recommended for award include $30 million for Monroe Interchange. Councilmember Holmes, that's certainly good news for the county, Indio, DVAG, and all of us. That project is a doozy of a project on our cash flow. Having $30 million to bring down, it's a major deal. We asked, county, Indio, CVAG asked for $30 million. It is being recommended for $30 million. And then the other big one is the Arts and Music Line. CVAG asked for $20 million and is being recommended for $20 million. Now, certainly bring down cost for CVAG, City of Indio, La Quinta, and Coachella. Notably, the City of Palm Desert also got a little bit of money. It's hard to say hundreds of thousands of dollars is little, but it is in the context of these, and it is for traffic signal improvement and synchronization integration in the City of Palm Desert. RCTC, who we work very closely with this go around, they were very supportive. I know, Jonathan, you are in working with RCTC staff on recommendations going forward to SCAG. Also are receiving a significant chunk of money. Was it $80 million for Interstate 15? And that'll certainly be a big help for RCTC as well. So I want to acknowledge RCTC staff who we work very closely with on this. They've been fantastic to work with. I want to encourage those of you that represent SCAG in various capacities to give a big thumbs up to this staff recommendation. We do know, I think there's going to be another county, Mr. Gregory, that
place where the Olympics are coming.
Yeah, there might be another county that will be advocating with their colleagues throughout Southern California that any and all money go to Los Angeles to support their work gearing up for the Olympics, which we certainly care about, but we also care about folks getting to LA County from the Inland
and
Empire
goods movement.
And goods movement.
Through LA
so, County. All good news, Chair.
Okay, so yes, please, those of us who sit on SCAC, let's show up and let our voices be heard, because it is important that we get these things done. We have an opportunity to let them know. And I also want to mention, CalCOG will be here Thursday and Friday. And CalCOG has been an extraordinarily effective advocate in Sacramento for transportation projects. So we always want to support them, and they have chosen to be in Palm Desert. And we're happy they're here, and we're going to keep supporting them and doing our work with them to help out.
And I know what the question is. What is CalCOG, perhaps? For those that may not be familiar with the organization, it's not the tip of everybody's tongue.
Oh, it's California Council of Governments. And of course, CBAG is a member of it. So we support them. And when there's time to go up and advocate in Sacramento, we're there. And they've done good work with REAP. And they've done a lot of great work with a lot of transportation.
Absolutely.
Okay. So,
for the record, I would like to welcome the city of La Quinta and Torres Des Martinez to the.
For the record, I'd like to welcome. So let's move to the consent calendar. So we have 6A through F. Is there anything that anyone would like to pull and discuss? Or
so we'll, Madam Chair, although I don't want to pull the item, but just want to say a few things about the E.
Okay.
Two, if that's all right with folks.
All righty.
Want me to go ahead?
Please.
All right. Yeah, just very quickly, folks, you know, the dust summit is coming up very soon. Obviously, it's a concern of all of us. Everyone's invited to attend. Please come. You know, we're expecting a big crowd. I mean, not only are we going to have the technical experts, if you will, the scientists from AQMD, but we're also going to have folks from the communities involved, as well as Scripps College, that is really playing a major role in mitigation efforts. Aside from that, you know, COMAC funding is going to end, or probably already has ended. And so we also got to think about how we continue to provide services and support for street sweeping. But aside from that, more that we can do. You know, there was a study that was done some time ago in which there are more recommendations potentially that we could take on other than street sweeping. And I definitely would like to get into that at the Dust Summit, coming from you on ideas that potentially we could move on. Just wanted to bring that up to you all, because obviously we are finally at a location, we are finally at a place with AQMD that more than ever before, they're actually paying attention, they're actually listening. And so they'll be there, and if you wanna give them an earful, go for it. Whether it's good or bad, let them know, because I think they need to know. And so I felt like we have a good amount of support, not only from staff, but even the board itself. So just want to bring that to your attention, and not sure if Tom wanted to add it in.
What I would add is, for those that pay much attention to our dust issues the past couple of years, you know, I've been critical of South Coast Air Quality Management District, and I would repeat and echo the supervisor's point. They are paying attention, and I think they're going to share with us some important next steps in better understanding and mitigating the air quality problem out here. And that was news to me as of Friday with a little staff meeting. So I'm encouraged and spending some real money to do so. All positive.
Great.
Next.
That's it.
On
my part.
Second motion.
We have a motion and a second. Can we have a roll call, please?
And you don't have to do a roll call, but you're the chair. You could do whatever you want.
You know what? Okay, so can all in favor?
Aye.
And Joey?
Aye.
Okay. Motion carries. So let's go to 7A, presentation on the Caltrans capital projects in Coachella and Palo Verde.
Good morning, Honorable Chair, members of the committee.
As part of our executive director's ongoing quarterly meetings with the Caltrans team, their executive team, we have regular updates with them, as well as with the I-10 ad hoc communication that we've been having. Caltrans presented to our staff a schedule of their capital improvement outlay for the Coachella Valley. So Tom recommended that Caltrans present this to the committee. If you wanted to get you an update, and if you have any questions, so I'd like to present Anthony Liao from Caltrans District 8. He's the Deputy Director of Planning, and he's going to go through a presentation for all of you.
Thank you.
Well, thank you, Jonathan. So good morning, Chair, Executive Director, Council Member, and other committee members. So I have a presentation on the improvements on I-10 since 2017 and some of the future projects. And I'll go ahead and share the slides right now. Let me see. Okay, do you see it right now?
We do.
Okay, great, thank you. So the I-10 through the Riverside County, it's a very important route to us. So here, what I want to do is sort of present what has happened on that route, and also in the future, what we have planned for that route. So the project that I will present in is essentially 10 projects on I-10. It spans about 149 miles. The limit of these projects, they are consecutive. What I'll do is I'll go from west to east to Arizona state line, and you'll start from the 1060 separation. Now, just a quick summary, since 2017 and actually up to last year, we have three projects that's completed, and by last year, by 2024, we actually, by 2026, we'll actually have two more projects completed by next year. Now, since 2017 through 2014, we invested about close to $500 million amongst the three projects. And by next year, we would have invested another $440 million. So it's close to $1 billion since that will be invested on the I-10 in the Riverside region from 2017 through September of 2026. And I will go through all the projects from west to east again. So here is a quick map that shows you the sequence of project, and these are all adjointed projects coming through here. The color scheme is various projects in various stages. So the first project I will go through is the 1C380. This project actually was completed in 2023. It was $200 million. The project was completed. What happened is they replaced the two outside lanes with concrete pavements, and he also had concrete slab replacement on lane 1 and 2, which is inside lanes. It's about 18.4 miles. Moving toward, and this is the limit of the project from 1060 to 1011 separation. Next project is a future project that we are looking to propose in this year's of planning study projects. The project is about 7.5 miles. It's right at the junction of 62 and 10, starting from 111 to the west of Indiana Avenue overcrossing. Project cost is about $72.5 million. But what I want to just add a caveat is the project itself right now, there's a bit of challenge regarding the funding. So we are looking at different strategies. The initial proposal is essentially, we are proposing to replace outside two lanes with concrete lanes. But because of the funding constraint, we're looking at different strategy with this AC, so we can do a little bit more. Still full lane replacement for the outside lanes, But if it's concrete, we may have to cut the limit shorter. And it could be half, or a little bit more than half, just due to the funding constraints. Moving toward east, we have another project that was that's going to be proposed, begin construction in 2028, $57.8 million. And this project, let me just see real quick. The project is essentially proposing to co-plane about 4 inches, 3 inches of the AC. Means you'll grind off the top layer and put back the fresh concrete, and then you'll also put back a rubberized concrete, which is better for the environment and it's a little bit quieter. We're also replacing covered signage, lighting, some of the ADA and complete street elements. The project is about, like I said, $57.8 million. We're working on that right now. So moving toward east again, about 8 miles of project. The project was actually completed in October in 2018, it's about $6 million. It's a little bit smaller project, and nonetheless, that was done. Moving toward east again. So this project, there is not an EA. When you see shop ID, those are future projects we're proposing. It's about 8 miles, a little bit over eight miles. The proposed construction year is 2033. And what that means is it's not in the planning stage for this cycle. It will be 2 years from now. The planning cycle is every 2 years. And that's when we propose all the new projects. We have a long range plan. It's about 10 years out. So this one is in a couple cycles from now. It's about $61 million. And again, what we are proposing is to grind off the top layer and put back some fresh ACs. And there are also a seismic retrofit on the 1,000 pumps awash nested in this project. Moving down toward the east again, this is 1C0A1, 13.5 miles. This particular project started back in March of 2022. It's one of the larger projects, $200.5 million. It's scheduled to be completed in January of 2026. Construction right now is actually completed. We're just wrapping up what we call the acceptance documents. We have to settle the books with the contractor. We have to do safety walkthrough, punch list, essentially just make sure everything's done properly and close the book with the contractor. Moving to our east again, we have another project that we are proposing. And this is actually a few more cycles out, 2036, $68 million project. Again, we are preparing project concepts right now. It's a long range plan right now. That's what we're doing right now. And also that is essentially melting off the top layers. We're doing cover upgrade, guardrail upgrade, things like that. The payment condition right now it's at the high fare condition. So all these project is based on the database that we have, a database called PayVem. It projects the condition of the payment condition, and we propose project and plan projects based on that database. So right now it's still pretty good condition out there right now. Moving toward east again, another future project. Starting in 2036, same year, $38.6 million. These are all projected costs for the future. Again, we're milling the top layer off and doing some guardrail upgrades, about 15.3 miles. And then moving east again, we have about 30 miles project. This project actually was completed last December. It's $289 million. That project, what we did is we milled off the main line about 0.3 feet, which is 4 inches or so. And then we put back a little bit of a asphalt, and we also have white topping, which is like a foot of the concrete white topping on top. So this is a pretty good project here. And we're looking to, so this project is complete already. And then last but not the least, we have another project all the way to the Arizona state line. Project started last July. We're projected to finish in next September. The project is $240 million. It's about 57% complete. And this project, it's also with a joint plain concrete. So it's a concrete pavement section that we're doing right now. So we are milling off about 4 inches again, and we're overlaying hot mix asphalt with some of the concretes there. So those are the projects, the 10 projects that is we had completed, five in the past, I mean, three in the past, two in construction that will be completed by next year. And then we have essentially four future projects that's coming on. Two of them will probably come on in the next shop cycle. So that is generically what the plan is and what we have done for the I-10 corridor in the Riverside County. So I'm available for questions if you have any.
Thank you so much. Are there any questions? Let's check with Blythe. There's an awful lot going on here. Blythe, Joey, do you have any questions or comments on this?
No, but everything's looking good. Just the hard part is going to, they haven't really tackled right downtown to, you know, because they're not adding the third lane, or not third lane, but a middle lane to offset traffic. They decided against that. But I think everything will work out real good. So I'm just looking at that California sign there that they put up. And, you know, that was part of the beautification program out there. But if you look further, look past them power lines, them are my hay fields over there. So,
oh, nice.
And, you know, thank Caltrans has been doing a good job. I've been watching it now for, I don't know, 4 years now since I've been driving back and forth to, you know, Indio or wherever I got to go. But it's come a long ways. They've done a lot of work and got things, especially that third lane coming up from Indio Grade. It's really, it's nice. It's very nice. So it's worked out real well. And I know they've been working on that for 20 some years to get it done. So, and it's done. So, but there's a few potholes left on that older part, but I'm not complaining yet. So we'll go from there. Thank you.
Yet being the operative. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Yes.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I wonder if it's possible if Mr. Lau might be able to email the presentation to us. It'd be helpful to have that.
Okay.
It was very good. Thank you.
Can you do that for us?
We have it.
Oh, we do. Great.
Oh, thank you so much.
Oh, great idea. Yes.
Yeah. Mr. Lau, thank you for this. This is Scott Mattis, the mayor of Desert Hot Springs. So I've been a little bit boisterous about these sections of highway, and I appreciate you working on some of this. And I see there's two sections in the future that are going to be reconstructed or maintained better from Highway 111 interchange to approximately Monterey. But there is still a section in there that's not planned for construction, and maybe you can address that or maintenance. Also, I'm encouraged that one of the projects of the two between that section will be started within the next few years, but one is 5+ years out possibly. How does, if the road doesn't maintain and starts to crumble, I travel this on a regular basis and it's falling apart. How do we address that in the meantime, or is it addressed?
Right. So, let me just give a really broader view and discussion here. So these projects started in 2017. So what happened that is when the SB1 got passed, right? SB1 got enacted, a lot of money came in, and we're able to invest a lot of money on a lot of larger corridor that needed a lot of investments. So what happened is when the SB1 came, another, what we had is what's called an asset management approach. So what happened, systematic investment strategy was implemented. So asset management essentially looked at statewide about the different asset conditions. So a lot of routes are competing for funding. And in the SB1, we are required to do payment, bridges, culvert, ITS, which is intelligent transportation systems, which these are loops, cameras. These are the four major categories, and the money sort of spread amongst these four. And what they do is they look at the condition, and they they invest, headquarters and us work together to invest money on the critical needs of these different categories. And there's a goal that we're supposed to meet by 2027. Most of them are like 90%, 95% plus conditions that we are supposed to improve. So what happened is these payments, the way that is done is based on a payment database called PayVem. It projects a condition, like I said. Now, they are, obviously that's not perfect. Sometimes due to the weather, storm and different conditions like that, some area gets deteriorated faster. We also, some area we have increased truck traffics. It also will increase deterioration. But this database essentially is refreshed every 2 years. We try to catch up with the actual conditions. Now, in the interim, for example, when you mentioned if there are potholes and something that sort of deteriorate quicker than we have predicted. However, the funding is actually not lined up because what we do is we project project out for 10 years. The asset management actually is a 10-year approach. And we sort of lay out project for all the different assets and spread all across statewide and different counties, San Bernardino County and Riverside County. Now, if those interim condition comes out, what we do is we work with our maintenance department to see what interim solution that we can do. Although it's not a full permanent fix, we are able to do some minor fixes, pothole fixes. So those are the things that we just need to communicate better. If you have needs, if there are concerns, certainly let us know. And we'll work with our maintenance department to try to address some of this stuff. Some of the stuff that is a broader, a little bit more severe, we are a little bit limited. We have to plan out a little bit better. And that's why you see these staggers, because you know, since 2017 until by next year, that'll be close to $1 billion of investment just on the 10. That's quite a significant amount of investment in this region on the 10 corridor. But nonetheless, when there are issues that comes up, we will definitely look at strategies to have an interim solution to take care of those routes. So
I appreciate your comments. And, you know, I'm just an advocate. I travel on a regular basis from Desert Hot Springs to Palm Desert. I see the trucks, even the full trailers are jumping from lane to lane because of all the different potholes and grooving that's going on. So it's a real, I don't know if this stretch of highway will last about five more years for any type of project. So I appreciate the explanation. The last question I have, who is responsible for the landscaping on the interchanges? Is that local responsibility or some of it is Caltrans responsibility?
So typically what happened is the interchange improvement, you know, Caltrans right now, based on SB1, is fix it first. We try to fix and maintain what it is. It's just because there's not enough resources to do all these landscaping and all that stuff. So typically local agency or RCTC will propose an interchange improvement. And what happened along that interchange improvement, there will be landscaping that's proposed. And normally, Caltrans landscaping are just bare minimum, just because it takes a lot of resources to improve. So most of these interchanges, we have a maintenance agreement with the local agency and local cities, just at the interchange area. And so usually the local agency is responsible for upkeeping some of the landscape. Now we do have projects here and there that we do propose landscaping beautification project along the last stretch that's going to Arizona state line. We do have some of those projects that we do take care of those, but for most part around the interchanges, usually it's an agreement with the local agency to do that type of work. And we issue permits on a yearly basis.
I appreciate those comments. I know in Desert Hot Springs, we found that we were partially responsible for some of the maintenance on some of the interchanges.
Right.
And so if Caltrans has those complaints that they can push it back to local levels, I think it'll bring more awareness to us to be able to get that done, because we do have quite a few interchanges that just aren't attractive. And we don't know if it's a Caltrans state issue or if it's a local issue. And for our visitors coming to the Coachella Valley, I think it'd be great to get that fixed. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Any other questions over here?
Chair.
Yes, please.
Just following up on Mayor Mattis's point. I think it was last meeting that we had, you know, Mayor Mattis brought up the issue of obviously maintenance around the 10 and obviously being alert and making sure that that gets done. But this issue of beautifying, you know, these areas, we've been at it for a while. And so Jan actually brought to my attention, I don't know, years back as well. And so, you know, we like to maybe start thinking about not only identifying who's in charge or who's responsible, but if we could put everybody at the table to start working on this, I'd rather make sure we get these bypasses done sooner than later. I think that's going to be important. And as well, you know, I think you were talking about signage at one time, Scott, coming in from 29 Palms, that area coming into Desert Hot Springs. I'm not sure what that monument is or the thought of putting some signage there, but the more that we can let people know that they're entering the Coachella Valley, the beautiful Coachella Valley, the better. But that means though as well, we need to make sure we maintain and you know, we take care of these areas that are just either have graffiti or have, you know, trash or brush or what have you. So I'm not sure we need to create an ad hoc committee. I'm not sure we need to just bring together a group of folks. I know we have one already, but you know, start putting a budget together, put timelines together. Let's start figuring this out. So just wanted to bring that to your attention.
And I'd be happy to comment. And Mayor Mattis did lead efforts at CVAG to develop an I-10 ad hoc committee, which he reminds me that we may not have regular meetings. But they have met, and we do meet with Caltrans quarterly. Maintenance is a huge issue. Beautification is a huge issue and a challenge in one of the windiest, dustiest parts of the world, that I-10 corridor, particularly between 111 and towards Monterey. On the maintenance issue, I've actually been really impressed with how effective Caltrans is. You put a comment in electronically, they will research it and get back with you. However, there seems to be a missing component.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the missing component is Caltrans might get back to you and say, we're on it, we'll schedule it, get it done, or it's not our responsibility. And when it's not their responsibility, the comment might disappear or die. We are working, Mark Lancaster of our staff is working with Caltrans to complete that feedback loop, because even a mayor may not know that you are responsible for a quarter of an interchange where there's graffiti. So we're trying to develop that feedback loop to get the word back. And there'll be more on that in the future. And just like Caltrans, you all and CVAG certainly is stretched thin on just getting projects out the door and complete. And maintenance is a real challenge for us to consider. So you'll hear more about that, and I'm sure we'll get an I-10 ad hoc committee together to discuss next steps, funding, and the rest of it.
Nice coordinated effort would be good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Any other questions or comments?
Let's call the meeting.
All right.
Okay, but quick question. You mentioned something about the rubberized asphalt and how it's beneficial to our environment and it's quieter, which that I understand. Can you explain really quickly, how is it beneficial to our environment?
Yeah, so Caltrans been promoting rubberized pavement on top of a dense pavement. So traditionally they're dense, and the way they reflect heat, it's much more. So the latter reflectivity, it's heat island. So what happens is the rubberized is a softer pavement. So what happened is when you travel on top of it, you drive on top of it, it's a little bit quieter and it doesn't reflect heat as much. The desert area, whenever we can, we'll propose that segment. It's a little bit more expensive, but there is a goal that we're supposed to meet. It's a bit challenging when we are at the mountain areas. So it's not in your region, but there are other areas we couldn't do it because high elevation, temperature-wise, we cannot place those pavement sections. So in that sense, it's a little bit better for the environment because just the reflectivity of heat is less. So
that's good information for us to be able to share to our community members. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Sure.
Okay, so that was our presentation. Are there any other questions or comments? Okay, seeing none, we will thank you very much for your time and all the information. We appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Thank you. We will move to 7A, which is amending the reimbursement agreement for Jefferson Street widening.
B.
B, that's exactly right.
Good morning, Chair and committee members. Julie Mignona, Transportation Program Manager at CBEC, here to present the Jefferson Street widening amendment request. And this project is from Avenue 38 to Sun City Boulevard in Indio. This request is, now that the planning and environmental document phase is complete, the city has requested funding for the design phase of the project to complete the plan specifications and engineer's estimate. This is the project location here on Jefferson Street, 38 to Sun City Boulevard. And they have also requested a time trigger extension to December 2027 for the start of construction. So the original agreement was entered into in December 2022, and that included $225,000 for the preliminary engineering phase. Amendment number one was just a time trigger extension, and they are now requesting the design funding in the amount of $1.9 million. CBAGs, that is our 75% contribution for the design phase. The staff is recommending to approve amendment number two to the reimbursement agreement with the City of Indio for the Jefferson Street widening project, Avenue 38 to Sun City Boulevard, and increasing the regional funding share by $1,953,750 and extending the time trigger to December 31st, 2020. Seven, to allow for the completion of the plan specifications and engineer's estimate. Any questions?
Are there any questions?
I will see if there are any questions first, and then I will. Well, it's Indio's time. I'd like to make a motion, please, to approve.
I'll second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any abstentions or objections? Okay, there's none. It carries. So now we'll move to 7C.
7C, this is another amendment request for the Avenue 50 widening. This is from Jefferson Street to Jackson Street. This actually includes three segments of that overall project. The first is Avenue 50 from Jefferson Street to Madison Street, and that is with both the City of Indio and the City of La Quinta. The second segment is Avenue 50 from Madison Street to Monroe Street, all in the City of Indio. And the third is Avenue 50 from Monroe Street to Jackson Street in the City of Indio. The preliminary engineering phase is complete, and they are now moving into the design to prepare the plan specifications and engineer's estimate as well. They are doing all three segments and preparing the design for all of those at the same time. So the cities of Indio and La Quinta are requesting funding for this phase and for the time trigger extension as well to December 2027 to begin construction. This original agreement was entered into in February 2022 and was CVAG's contribution was $675,000. That was our 75% share. There was an amendment that extended the time trigger back in February of 2024. No funding was added. And this request is for $1,936,815 to complete the design, which brings CVAD's regional contribution to just over $2.6 million for this project. And with that, the staff is recommending to approve amendment number two to the reimbursement agreement with the City of Indio for the Avenue 50 widening project from Jefferson Street to Jackson Street, increasing the regional funding share by $1,936,815 and extending the time trigger to December 31st, 2027 to allow for completion of the plan specifications and engineer's estimate. I'm available for any questions you may have.
Are there any questions?
Yes. Julie and Tom, I'm assuming that both of these
recommendations are planned and within budget of CVAG. We're not doing anything outside of our.
Correct. Yes, sir. They are within our budget.
Well, let me. I always love hearing those questions because you might remember we just did a cash flow discussion at the last meeting Jonathan led. We are running out of money. And so it's a fair question. Do we have funding to do this? Yes, certainly this. After we fund Monroe Interchange, things are going to be very tight around here. Those are big dollars with a couple of additional zeros of obligations for CVAG and our partnering agencies. With respect to this, this is easy. When it comes back, as these do, for construction funding, we shall see. Depends on cash flow circumstances and what's happening in the world around us, federal and state funding. One of the things you'll, those of you that have been on the committee for a long time recognize is we only fund phase by phase. We don't go all in because we're never sure about, frankly, construction timing and cash flow considerations. So this is a phase that's easily within approved budget parameters.
Any other questions? Did that answer your question? Okay. Any other questions or comments?
Well, if there isn't, then I'll make a motion to approve this reimbursement agreement for Avenue 50 widening project. Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed or any abstentions? Motion carries. Okay. So 7D. Oh, I'm sorry, Joey. What say you?
When you asked for no extensions or no objections, so I didn't say nothing. So
okay, it's working really well so far. Okay, thank you. Okay, let's do 7D, which is CB Link project closeout.
Good morning once again. This is a CB Link closeout, a little project you may have heard of. just to recap here. We have over 40 miles over the complete project through the valley. We were constructing about 35 miles of this, most recently with two different contractors and three different phases. This project started almost 15 years ago, became a project that CVAG led in 2011. And it was about over $84 million of outside funding put into this project to get it going. We went to construction in 2019, and you see these pictures. I'll just run through these in different of our different member agencies. Got some drone photos of them. It's beautiful out there. And we will be celebrating starting this week on Wednesday and all the way through Monday with different events to ribbon cutting events in our different agencies. And you should all have received this save the date notice with the different dates that we'll be hosting those. The actual business item or the action item on this agenda is to authorize our executive director to accept the project when it's ready and file a notice of completion. And all your member agencies have processes for that because CVAG meets so frequently. We want to authorize Tom to be able to accept the project, file the notice of completion. That starts a clock for when we have to publicly notice before we can give a final payment. But there will be continuous work you'll see out there because there'll be some punch list items they're still working on. And then there's warranty items. So if we see a crack or some issue that develops out there, it's under warranty. They'll have to come out, take out a panel, replace it. So you might see things going on out there. But in summary, that's the action for today, just to authorize our executive director to approve and file the notice of completions.
Are there any questions or comments? Yes.
Awesome. So I know we've been kicking out the can of the idea of extending it out towards the Salton Sea. So if we close this out now, what are we calling that if we do the extension of the Salton Sea CV Link 2.0? Or like, what is...
There are a number of projects, and certainly extension to the Salton Sea North Shore is one, extension to Desert Hot Springs is another. We're calling the extensions CV Link. And much like CV Link, it's built in phases. I don't think we need to, in fact, we're on phase 6 or something now.
Yeah.
Extension to North Shore might be 7 or 8 or 9 or 10. and we have connections, and we're working with a lot of your agencies on various on-ramps and off-ramps and connections, more local projects to connect to the main line called CV Link.
Okay. Because my only concern is, you know, when we start applying for grant funding or trying to get more funding to do those additional connections, that on documentation for CVAG is going to show that the project's closed out.
Yeah, that's a concern. Yeah, that's something just to clarify. It's the, I maybe misled you there. Closeout is just for these two contracts with the granted and Ames.
So. As long as they're specified, because we know we're still doing things.
Okay. I'm sure. So currently, the actual trail, I guess, or the CV Link ends in the city of Coachella. But I'm wondering, what are the timelines looking like moving into the future, going into maybe, let's say, Thermal, and Mecca, and North Shore? I'm wondering if we have something on paper for that. What does that look like, budget, all that good stuff?
Jonathan, why don't you do a quick update on both endeavors at both ends of CV Link?
Sure.
Beginning and end, it depends on your perspective.
Yeah.
And it's both. And so the extension south and the extension north into Desert Hot Spring. What are we doing?
Thank you, Tom. Transportation Committee and the Executive Committee awarded contracts or authorized us. And we hired consultants to work on both ends. So we're in the process now of extending from Avenue 56, right where Jella meets Thermal, and extend all the way out to Salton Sea. And we're in the public outreach phase. And so we're going through that process of looking at different alignments and figuring out what makes the most sense and coming up with alternatives. Same thing is happening for extension to Desert Hot Springs. And we're starting on that study with trying to figure out the biggest hurdles get across the I-10. And we're specifically looking at four different locations very closely, see how we can get across and connect to the existing active transportation routes that are in Desert Hot Springs. Now, so both of those are underway. And we'll come back with the committee with updates.
So is it too soon to say there aren't any timelines yet? I mean,
timeline? No, we'll have a timeline. We'll in the spring, we'll have a report back to you that we can guarantee you that. We'll give you an update. Yeah. But as far as construction, timing, and funding that we've secured, we're not there yet.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Thank you. Just a quick comment. You know, several of us around the table here have been at this since the beginning. It's been a long road, but I just want to just note, you know, Tom's just observing, you know, how you did this over the years, starts, the stops, the was it going to continue or not? Just well done. I just wanted to recognize that. So many people had a role in this, but your role was the true orchestrator. So thank you.
I appreciate that.
A lot of tenacity. Thank you. Yes.
KESQ did a nice piece this weekend on the signage along Seville, which basically, for those who missed it, pointed out that the signage was not always conducive to pointing in the right direction or et cetera, et cetera. And the public response from CVAG was the project continues. It's not complete. So I just want to make sure that the contractors whose contracts are going to be closed based on this recommendation are making sure that the signage is what it should be. And I'd like to hear your thoughts on that.
CVAG team has been meeting with each. We have met with each of the member agencies where CV Link is, and we've actually got into golf carts or on bikes, and we've rode the actual links together with your city manager, the chief police, public works team. So we already have a punch list going. The report about some directional signs was not a surprise. We have noted updates or things we need to have the contractor clarify. Some was the contractor put up the wrong sign. Another one was maybe the designer, it's the perspective of being on the link and knowing as I approach a cross street, do I go underneath the undercrossing? Where is that going to lead me? Versus if I stopped and got off. And some of the signs are from that perspective, not giving you locations of where things are at. So some of it we had recognized were confusing. And so we're having those signs removed and we're going to fix them and make sure they're good.
And that'll happen prior to
happening now.
Out the
It's happening now. Those signs have probably been removed already and getting updated.
Do we have a sign out there that's going like different directions, I think?
Well, there's directional signs with the...
I'm just kidding.
Madam Chair.
Yes.
So, Jonathan, in your report, spanning more than 40 miles across the valley. So does that roughly 40 miles include the Arts and Music link, or is it just the CV link?
It is not. It's just the
okay. So if we include the Arts and Music link, it's about 50-ish miles.
Yeah, then that and that Arts and Music line is what we were calling community connectors. And we have many of those planned, and it'll just kind of grow like a web of line.
All right, thanks.
And we have some of those connectors in Palm Desert that are used, and it's made it that much more popular.
So. Yes.
Yeah, I can ask before we
please.
On. And you alluded to this a little bit with the golf cart part, but the recommendation is that we forward the executive committee permission for the executive director to close out when he feels everything is ready to close out. So what is the process that you or your contractors go through to personally inspect each portion of that before you actually do the closeout? And you were talking about a punch list.
Sure.
I'm sure that's part of it. But I know even Caltrans, I talked about before they could close out, they actually have to walk the whole length.
Yeah.
So what is kind of your process for that?
So we have a construction management consultant that's out there every day with daily diaries and reports, and they go through a very making sure that the what's installed meets the approved plan and make sure it meets the specifications. And that's happening now and has happened, and we have a list of those items to address. The CVAG going out and meeting with each agency was kind of an extra level of just getting that user's perspective. Let's make sure, you know, when it was designed, that they foresee things that you're only going to know if you actually ride it. And so that was an extra step we were taking to just kind of fine tune things. So we're in the process of going through that punch list, and we usually file a notice of completion when it's substantially complete. If there's just a, you know, some paint that needs to be touched up here or there, that's going to happen. As I mentioned, the notice of completion is just authorizing Tom, our executive director, to approve it for CB Link. And then we're in the process of updating our policies and procedures to empower our executive director to process notices of completions for future projects separately.
So that notice wouldn't necessarily preclude punch list items getting finished or the warranty, as you mentioned.
No. It's essentially to notify, it gets published, and if there's any subcontractors or suppliers that haven't been paid by the prime, they're put on notice so they can come to us and say, we never got paid. But it doesn't prevent us from fine tuning punch list items.
Any other comments or questions? So I wanted to come and kind of piggyback on what you said. I think it was 2011 or 12 when we went and visited with the deputy director for Caltrans. I found him quite intimidating. And oh my God. And what I found later on, because it's Kome Ajise, who is our executive director at SCAG, and he said, I was just sitting there thinking, wow, that's brilliant. Why didn't we think of that? So that's not what I thought was going through. I do want to make a comment. I've heard some unfortunate comments from some council members about it attracting homeless, but it's actually doing quite the opposite. And if somebody has questions about that, is there somebody at CBAG where they can come get accurate information that they can share with the public?
Yeah, they could certainly reach out to Erica or me. And guess what? There are homeless people in the Wash, and they've been there for a long time. And we've got particularly some significant challenges in Indio. We've been working very closely with Indio PD, and there will continue to be homeless folks in the Wash. However, the more folks that are going up and down CV Link with a camera called a cell phone and a button to push in case you need to get to the police, you will find far fewer homeless people in the Wash in the future than you might have a few years ago. And we even saw that when we were writing a section of the link. Of course, we were writing it with the police at Chalit, chief of police, and the city manager, but we saw some scrambling going on of folks probably doing the wrong thing. And with more usage, we do expect it to get better out there, and there'll be the opportunity for your law enforcement teams to get out and access those areas a little easier. And that's one of the things we have been actively working on, working with Indio PD and others on how to cost effectively and efficiently police CV Link.
It's a work in progress.
It is.
No doubt about it. The more people on, the better. I mean, we've identified as you're driving down, there are some homes of people that haven't thrown anything out in 20 years that we're trying to figure out if we can address or how we might be able to address that as well. So sort of an overall beautification. Indio just seems to have a really long list of things to work on when it comes to the older part of our communities. But understand, appreciate your help. We're chipping away at it, and we'll continue to.
Thank you. Okay, that's that. Next, we have the information, the attendance roster, status report.
Yes, Chair.
Can we take a vote? Yeah, we do have to vote, don't we? We have to authorize the executive director to accept and file. So does anybody, anyone like, okay, we have a motion and we have a second. All in favor? Any abstentions or objections?
I'm going to abstain.
Okay. And Joey?
Yes.
Okay, we're good. Thank you very much. Are there any public comments on non-agenda items?
No, Chair, we do not have any.
Okay, so the next transportation committee is Monday, January 5th, right here again. And our executive committee is December 1st at 4 p.m. right here.
And I have two quick questions. One is CV Sync. So a lot of noise around turning right, left on 111 off peak hours. Directing people to call if they need be, but for the purpose of city council meetings and whatnot, how is that going? And it's a learning system, et cetera. What kind of time frame?
Erica is looking at me like this is not an agenda item. It also is a learning exercise. We're seeing increased travel times on major corridors we worked on a fair time ago now at 111 Washington and Ramon. We are well into phase two, which is called another 20 corridors, and it is a work in progress. If we have worked with individual elected officials and staff on specific issue areas, and there was one in Indian Wells we worked on to the east of Miles, and any comments that you all have, get a hold of me or Jonathan and we'll address them. We're going to have 500 signals underway and a few more in Rancho Mirage in the next couple of years. And so it's a major management effort. And we will schedule a time for all of you to see the new traffic management center. Thank you again, yes. City of Rancho Mirage. It is efficient and effective and state of the art. So there'll be problems along the way, but we'll work together to fix them.
And then the second, I was just, I don't know what the next or appropriate steps are, but would love to have Coachella represented here based on all the, Michigas that's going on. I would hope that they are able to have
representation. I'm sure that will be taken care of, and we will, I'm sure they're addressing it within their city.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And we are.
Right? See, no one finished business. This meeting stands adjourned.
All right.
Good.